Good morning. It's good to see all of you here. We have some visitors with us, and it's good to have you with us, and of course to see all the members here. We are really starting to pack this building in, and we of course are having to address that reality. And maybe there's some things we can do in the short term that we're going to look at, but we appreciate your efforts in this. I know it's a good problem to have, and so I hope that the lesson today will be of good, really good value to you. It's a lesson that is going to have to kind of start out with a little pain in order to get to what's going to fix the pain. But what I want to talk about is the idea of the scripture's statement that we read in Ephesians 6 of do not provoke your children to wrath. And when I say that, I see you have to deal with the problem and understand what that is before you can address the problem. And so you may wonder why I want to talk about this. Well, I want to talk about it because I think there is a direct connection without question between the actions of one's parents and their children's actions and the just deplorable state of our country today. All of those are connected together. The recent tragedy that was mentioned by, well, whatever your name was, I just completely forgot it, Heath. That recent tragedy in Nashville that resulted in the loss of seven lives has really been on my mind this week, on Trisha's mind. The details, including who did the deed, why this woman did it, and how it's being reported, and all kinds of things like that have truly, they've distracted me, they've bothered me, and they've deeply saddened me. I truly feel for the families involved and the grief and pain they are feeling. I can relate. But I also mourn for what these events and the others, the many others like it that we've seen previous to this. I mourn for what they say about the state of our country and the deterioration of our moral fiber. People, of course, want to say, well, this happened because society is sick. I hear that statement. Now, I understand the language, and I've used it myself, but the problem with our society is not that it's caught some, you know, moral cold or some, you know, ethics virus that we just kind of have to, you know, kind of just live through a while. That's not the problem. The problem with our society is self-inflicted. It's a product of very bad choices that people are making that have gutted, you know, society of godly morals and values and a conscience. We don't have a conscience anymore. And the problems continue to grow exponentially. And it's not because society is ruining everyone. It's because society is being ruined is why. And it's being ruined because the foundation of society is eroding. And the foundation of any society is the home, is the family. And that is being attacked daily, hourly, every minute by Satan. And Satan's intense. His intentions are not good. His success in eroding the foundation of the family that includes, you know, the rejection of the God-given institution of marriage. I mean, people just aren't bothering anymore. The rejection of the biological male and female design for marriage as according to Genesis chapter 2. And the fact that parents are just abandoning their roles and responsibilities have all worked together to produce a generation of people who are confused. We have young people, they're growing up and they're confused. They don't know who they are, even biologically. They don't know the purpose of life, why they are here. They have no means of coping with life's difficulties. And you know, on top of that, they don't have any idea why they're facing all these difficulties. They don't understand. They have no concept of how actions have consequences. You can't just do whatever and hope it to be good. It doesn't work that way. And so we have a generation of people that are confused. And as a result of that confusion, they're angry. They're angry at life. They're angry at their parents. They're angry at religion and even angry at God. That's the reality. They feel shortchanged. They feel empty. And you know what society tells them? Well, what you need to do is be enraged. Get mad. That's what you need to do. You need to be, you know, violent. You need to take vengeance. That's the answers. That's how it's going to fix all of this. And that's the answer, especially when it's pointed at God and His Word and His people. That's how you deal with it. And so we have young people that are confused and they're angry because they're confused and they're lashing out. Just as we saw recently. Though it's not certainly the first time. People are acting or reacting, if you will, in violent, just irresponsible, hate-filled ways. And they do so with little concern or conscience for what they're doing to others or doing to themselves. These people, in many cases, they just want to die. And they want to harm and kill as many people as possible as they do so. That's just what it's come down to. And this downward spiral of confusion and anger and lashing out. It's not going to be stopped by the government enacting more laws and things like that. It's going to be only stopped when people begin to see that the problem is not society. The problem is society and individuals have turned from God. That's the problem. The only answer is turning back to God. But for that to happen, homes and families are going to have to change. Something's going to have to change. And it's homes and families because, you know, those bringing children into the world, they're going to have to realize that doing so means they've got parental responsibilities that have to be fulfilled. They have to understand that they're going to have to approach their roles with godliness. You can't just be a parent however you want, because that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the results of that, and it's not good. It's horrible what's happening in this world. For if the home is godless, it will crumble, resulting in society being godless and crumbling, just like we're seeing today. Of course, for godliness to rule in the home, you know what? We're going to have to be more evangelistic in getting the word out to people. People in society aren't going to learn the word on their own. They're lost. They don't understand where the truth is, where the answers are. And we're the only ones that can give it to them. And so, this morning I want to talk about not provoking your children to wrath. Because I believe that's much of the reason we're witnessing what we are witnessing. People, parents in general is what I mean, are provoking their children to wrath by the way they're raising them. And to do that, first of all, to avoid provoking your child to wrath, people are going to have to understand that they have to give their children a love to live with. They need to know love. They need to understand love. Now, in addressing this, I am in no way saying or, you know, denying or minimalizing in any way the personal accountability of those who are doing these terrible things, of all the problems we see. I'm not saying, well, they're not accountable. It's all their parents because the parents didn't love them. No, I'm not saying that. Everyone must be accountable for their actions. We're going to talk about that in the future. But I do believe the problem starts with parents provoking their children to wrath by failing to provide the things to their children that they desperately need and that they are the only ones that can provide it. And parents aren't giving it to them. So I want to talk about how parents need to give their children a love to live with. I want to talk about it because children need their parents' love. I mean, they crave it. They need it. It's not just, you know, I need a piece of candy. No, they need it. It's vital. And that's because parental attitudes and actions strongly influence a child's life. I mean, strongly influence a child's life. As much as I can laugh about my dad, there is a bunch of my dad in me. There is. My brother could fuss about it, but the other day my brother was beside me doing something and I thought literally for a second, it was my dad there because he was acting just like him. And he looks like him too. I mean, it's real. You know, it's so real. You know, the young years, the first few years of life, what do we call them? The formative years, don't we? Those are the years, where a child's life, much of it, you know, how they think, how they're going to act, is formed in those early years. Now, I'm not discounting the importance of years of training that must follow. I know those must be there. But it does say that the love you show or you fail to show to your child, even at a very early age, or especially at a very early age, will have significant impact on their life, the life they live, the rest of their life. And with that being the truth, it is a shame to say, but it is a reality that parents are failing miserably to fill their child's life with real love, and they're doing so in epic numbers in this country. They are. And there's all kinds of reasons for it. I think in truth it comes down to, you know, an ignorance of God and a selfishness. But, you know, you can look at the fact that so many parents don't show the love they should to their children because they're spending most of their time and strength chasing wealth, aren't they? They're working all the time. And they have been fooled to believe that the stuff they can give their children somehow is going to translate into love. We have, you know, seen the result of that experiment. And let me tell you, it's not pretty. Young people are angry. They've got all the stuff they've ever wanted, but they are empty inside because that's not how it works. Stuff is not love. We have this problem because too many parents are just too self-centered, too wrapped up and caught up in their own lives and the drama to have any time to deal with anyone else's needs or desires. They're just wrapped up in themselves. And folks, I can tell you, One of the results of this experiment that we've, you know, entered into, if you want to call it that, is that many parents aren't loving their children because they're too wrapped up in social media. They can't get their faces out of their phones. And they can't, you know, are they're too wrapped up in entertainment to turn the TV off, or they're too involved in video games to set aside the controller to interact with real people. They don't know how to do that. Even when it's their own children, they don't understand it. And what's sad is, as parents, we're teaching our kids to do the same thing. We're preparing them for that kind of failure in life. And others are just simply too lazy. Just too stinking lazy to do the work needed to love their children. It's a lot of work to do it right. It's a lot of work to do it like God says do it. And so, children aren't getting that love. And so, much of what we're seeing today is a result of a lack of true parental love. And brethren, I say that because love is the strongest, if not, or one of, if not the strongest emotion we will deal with in life. I mean, it really is. You know, I have seen people do the most unwise, the craziest, stupidest things. Because, I mean, things that just mess up their life, their whole life, because of what they believe to be love. I mean, people will. I mean, it is a strong emotion. And when you add to that the strength of the bond between a child and his or her parents, no one can rightfully, you know, say or deny the vital importance. They cannot deny the vital importance of parental love. So if we want our children to grow up to become happy and fulfilled adults, the odds are overwhelmingly greater for that happening when that parental relationship is filled with love. But boy, I can tell you, when love is missing from the family, children, I mean, they do. They grow up confused. They grow up angry. And I mean, you think about it. It only makes sense. How is an unloved child supposed to believe that if their parents didn't love them, who gave them life, how are they to believe that anybody else can or ever will love them? I mean, it's got to be infuriating. How can an unloved child, you know, how are they going to know the value of love and how it is to be shown towards others? They've never seen it. How is that unloved and unappreciated child supposed to love and value who God created them to be, to know they are fearfully and wonderfully made, as Psalm 139 and verse 14 says, when those who have brought them in life, who've given them, you know, birth into this world, have never expressed this in any meaningful way to those individuals? People are angry because people are confused. They don't understand what life is all about. It's never been shown to them. They don't know about real love. And so, parents must love their children. You have to. I mean, and when I'm talking about love, there are all kinds of love. And I'm not discounting the other kinds of love, you know, that could, you know, people could think of completely, but parents must give agape love first and foremost. I mean, there's a brotherly love that could exist, but it's agape love that children need. And the reason I say that, agape love is a very special love. We talked about this recently in a sermon, or at least, you know, I talked about it. I guess you heard it, but agape love is a unique love. It's a love that, it's a word that was kind of adopted by Christians and an application made of it that the Greek world had no idea about. They'd never seen or used it that way. But agape love is the greatest form of love. It is the love that, it is the word used of God's love for us. It is the love shown not by giving a child whatever he or she wants or letting a child do whatever they please. You know, children don't know what's best for them. You know it? They don't. I mean, children eat candy all day. They'll never take a bath. They won't change their clothes. I mean, they'll do all kinds of crazy things, you know, if you just let them. If you don't love them enough to keep them from doing those things. That God's love is agape love. And therefore the love that we need to show is agape love. Means that, you know, God doesn't always give us what we want. What we think we need. But God always does what is truly best for us. And you know what? Sometimes that means saying no. Sometimes that means allowing us to face pain and suffering. And parents in our society need some real training in that kind of love. They don't understand it. They have no concept of what it's all about. And so children need to know love from their parents. Children need to know that their father loves them. They need to know that. Father's absenteeism in the home is one of the greatest problems we face today in society. Fathers are absent, whether it's physically, emotionally, or simply in their responsibilities. They're just not going to do what fathers need to do. And as a result, children do not have fathers to lead them, to make the difficult decisions for them. They have no one to show them what a real man, a godly man, is supposed to be. They just don't know. They have no concept of what manhood is about. And boy, we are seeing the obvious confusion and havoc that's producing, aren't we? What a mess in our world. A child needs to know that his or her father cherishes them. Sees them as a gift, a reward, a blessing from God. In Psalm 127, beginning in verse 3, he says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gates." Now we know, and you know, surely you should know, we should know, that one of the ways this is shown, of course, is by providing your children with what they need. I mean, that's a given for us, but it's not in the world, or at least it should be a given for us. You work to provide for your children. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 10, Jesus talks about this. He implies this reality when he says, "Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? Or he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" But I want you to know, and this is something we have to remember, the best gifts are not things. They're not stuff, but time and attention. And you know, even the world gets this in moments of clarity. They know it's true. I you know, I'm showing my age, but I remember a song when I was a kid, and some of you know which one I'm going to miss. Remember Cats in the Cradle? Harry Chapin? Some of you are going, who in the world is that? You know, well, he died a long time ago. Leave in a plane crash or a car crash or something. But the song resonates. Especially with fathers. Boy, does it resonate. Because it talks about a boy whose father worked all the time and gave him presents. Things, you know, ball gubs to play with. But when he said, Daddy, let's go pitch. No, his daddy never had the time to give him the attention, the loving attention that the boy craved, that he needed. And therefore, the boy grew up to be like his dad. He never had time. He was working all the time. And he didn't have time for his own family. And he didn't have time for his father. When his father finally had time for him. You know, the point's simple. Your children learn how to love from you. They learn how to live. That's what happens. And so children need to know that their father loves them, cherishes them. And it's not by just stuff. It's by giving them the time and attention that they need. But children need to know that their mother loves them. And that's why God commands this to be so. He directs this to be true. In Titus chapter 2 verses 3 through 5, he says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. So that they may encourage, notice this, the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. And I can tell you, mothers show this love so wonderfully by the nurturing care that really only they can give. You know, when a child's hurt, they usually don't want daddy. They want mama. And there's a reason. Because mama is the nurturer, caring one, so tender. In fact, mothers can do this so well that God's own nurturing, loving care is compared to a mother's love. In passages like Isaiah 49 and verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? It's a rhetorical question. Now, he follows that. He says, even these may forget, but I will not forget you. But he let off, you know, the love, the nurturing love a mother has. In Isaiah 66 and verse 13, as one whom his father, I'm sorry, one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Israel. He's saying, you know how good it is when your mother comforts you. That's how it's going to be. That's saying something very special about the love of a mother. And children need to know that their mother loves them. That their mother, their father are not wrapped up in their phones and all that foolishness to the point, you know, that they can't see that child and what that child needs in their life. And I can tell you this, parents, you got one shot. You got one. And any do-overs, you don't get to, I failed on this one. Well, let's just put them back to being small again and do it again. Try again. It doesn't work that way. And let me tell you, none of them, of your children, are experiments you can afford to fail on. You know, I always laughed about, You know, a show I was watching one time where the older brother was always griping about how much they loved the younger brother. And he says, you know, I was the child that they just kind of experimented on. It's like, yeah, okay, now we know it's not good to drop them, you know. Well, okay, you know, well, that's not it, you know. You don't drop any of them. You love them all because you got one chance. And you know what? Boy, it passes quickly. Boy, it flies. So don't rob your children of the one thing only you can give them. You. Don't provoke them to wrath by failing to show them the love they desperately need from you. To help them live a meaningful life. But to talk about parents' love, you can't end right there. You have to understand. Children need to know God loves them. I know that parental love is vital, but it's not enough. It's not enough. It cannot sustain that child throughout their life. And one of the reasons is the simple fact, or some of the reasons are children leave home and parents depart from this world. They do. I have no parents living in this world. There's probably a lot of you here that's the case. So children need love. Need to know a love in their lives that'll never fail them. Ever. True parental love, therefore, includes, it has to include your child knowing their Heavenly Father's undying love for them. They need to know there's a love that will never, you know, let them down. A love that can be counted on to be active throughout their whole life, no matter where they are. No matter what faces them. There's a love that is there to support them. Only God's love can uphold their life when life brings unspeakable pain and suffering. Without God's love in their lives, you know, it's no wonder children are growing up confused and angry. Because they've been left without one of the most important tools needed to cope and overcome. They don't know God's love. They've been provoked to wrath by that reality. So, children need to know God's love. They need to know that God's love is offered to them, though it's undeserved. They can't do enough to get it. God offers it even though they don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. None of us deserve that love. And yet, it is offered without it being deserved. In fact, you can't do anything to deserve it. Romans 5:5-8, Holy Spirit says, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Children need to know that God loves helpless, flawed, ungodly sinners. That's who He loves. They need to understand that God's love is offered to them through great sacrifice. They need to know God's love for them meant giving His Son for them. in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, or shall not perish, but have eternal life. They need to know that God's love for them meant being willing to live. God was willing to live on the earth as a man so that he could die on the cross as the propitiation, as the appeasing sacrifice for their sins and ours. In 1 John 4:9-10, he says, "In this the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And you know what? Understanding that love is never going to be complete until your children observe that love in your life. They need to see it. They need to see it in you being parents who are willing to personally sacrifice yourself for their good and that of others. In 1 John 3:16-18, the Apostle John writes, "We know love by this, that he," talking about God, "laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." That's what our children need to see in us. And they need to see in us God's love by being willing to do good for them and others when it is undeserved. We've received God's love even though we do not deserve it. And we need to be willing to show that to others, though they may not deserve it. For in Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." I cannot help but think of how different the lives of so many would be today if they knew God's love. If they knew the amazing change it brings to one's perception of life and how one lives his or her life. They surely would not be shooting people or burning down businesses or punching people in the face or threatening others. That's not what it's about. You wouldn't see happening what we're seeing happening seems to be just on a regular basis. And so as I conclude, in the next lesson, we're going about this topic. I'm not saying necessarily next week, but we're going to consider how parents need to give their children a law to live by. Because true love requires a law, boundaries, an understanding that, you know, there is a way they must live. But before we close, I want to say, I know children can choose to reject their upbringing. I know they can choose to follow Satan and reject the Lord and his people. They can choose the confusion, the anger, and the violence of the world over the wisdom and peace of God. They can do that. I understand that. Good parents can have children that make bad choices. But I can tell you, those who have experienced and known God's love through the dedicated, loving lives of their parents are far less likely to do so. Far less likely to do so. So I encourage you to love your children. to love them as God has loved you, so that you will not be guilty of provoking your children to wrath. Of course, to live a life of love, it requires you acknowledging God's love. It requires you responding to God's love. And you do that by trusting God with your life. You do that by obeying God and His will. Truth is, there's not a soul here, no matter how bad your life may have been, how undesirable, you know, things have been in your life, there's not a child here, there's not a person here who hasn't experienced God's love in their life. The fact that you're alive today, the fact that you know good things, any good thing you have, it comes from God. That's why it's here. You take God out of the picture, you've got a mean, horrible, evil society. We may look at society, how bad it is. Well, I can tell you, you take God totally out of the picture and what God has done in Christ, you have no idea how bad it would be. You know God's love because you're alive and you have good things in your life. You may take it for granted, but it's there. So I would encourage you today, don't ignore God's love. Don't, you know, put off responding to God's love. Don't hope somehow to wait for another day. And so will you come to Jesus? Will you acknowledge the love that Jesus has personally shown you? He died for your sins. He was willing to do that, to leave heaven, all that good, to face, you know, heartache and hardships, and to die as a criminal on the cross, how the people viewed him, even though he had never committed a sin. He did that for you. Will you respond to that love in faith, repenting of your sins and confessing your faith in Christ, that you might be baptized into Christ, into His death, where He shed His blood so that that blood can affect your life and you be forgiven of your sins. It's offered to you this morning. If you're subject in any way, please come as we stand and sing.